back. This is your host, Cardzi B. As many of you may already know, I'm a tarot reader and fashion industry survivor based in New York City. I began learning tarot when I was still in grade school, and since then, I've turned that hobby into a tarot practice and the creation of my own deck, Badass Bitches Tarot by Cardzi B, as well as various tarot products and events. So I hope everyone had, a really healing and powerful full moon in Capricorn, which was also a lunar eclipse. And that's technically still very effective today because it occurred at 12:44 a.m. So overnight, Eastern time. I did kind of my candle and ritual work last night because of that. But this was really the opening of a powerful energy portal. A lot of people, if you, follow a lot of astrologists online, have been posting about this harmonic convergence energy portal. And what does that mean? Basically, it means that a lot of light workers, astrologists, healers are participating in global meditations between now, today, July 5th, and July 14th. Because of what's going on astrologically and the shifts energetically in, the Schumann resonance, the more light energies coming in, we're seeing a lot of things coming to the surface, being revealed, and also being able to be shifted and cleared out, especially with that Mars and Aries energy that, we talked about the tower with Mars and Aries of what's being broken down and cleared out. So a lot of impactful shifts. So between now and the 14th is a great time where we can meditate for the collective and for global expansion and ascension, and where we can really ask the universe to bring things to our attention and clear out the things that are not serving us, starting with this really powerful eclipse. So that full moon eclipse today represented this kind of pivot point that many of us will release, i.e. eclipse out, things that, we may have found comfort in, but we're probably limiting us, whether those were limiting beliefs or patterns, and we may have held on to them in a very steadfast manner, i.e. Capricorn, but it's like now is the time to let it go. Let it go. Channel Elsa from Frozen. Let it go. And for a lot of us, this can feel really alarming, like a breakdown in a lot of ways, i.e. my apartment, I think I spoke about last week. I literally don't know where I'm going to be living as of September 1st. An incredible friend of a friend offered a sublet situation, which he was allowing me to move into his apartment on the Upper East Side. That fell through due to his management company, the board. And it's, whatever it's meant to say, that wasn't my path. Whatever is meant to be will come up. But this is a time of a lot of uncertainty, a lot of things breaking down, whether that's where we're going to live, where we're working, our relationships, a lot of attachments that once did serve us that we've outgrown and that the universe is kind of clearing out for us to move forward. So we'll be talking more about the energies around that, about what's going on currently with our incredible guest today, Stacey Robinson from Smoke and Mirrors. But before I bring her on, I kind of wanted to quickly just go back through July's cards. So we touched on all of these, obviously, in the July monthly overview. We have the Cancer-ruled Chariot, which comes in like Miley Cyrus on a wrecking ball, which is how I illustrated the Chariot card in my deck, because the Chariot really leads us towards victory after a lot of work and contemplation has been done. So a lot of us did a lot of inner and outer work for those of us that were protesting, that were doing work, outside of ourselves for the collective, as well as inner healing work in June. That's really going to help us bring further victories out in July. We also have the moon reversed from our annual 2020 overview. And as I mentioned in last week's episode, I actually prefer the reversal of the moon, which is, what we have this month, because it indicates that we have really been facing and working through fears and anxieties. And because of that, we're able to see a lot of those things. We're kind of ghosts of the past or illusionary beliefs. And they may have been very real at the time, but illusionary in the present in that, yes, that was true in a past narrative, but it's not true in the present. And it certainly doesn't mean that it's going to be true in the future. So coming to those discoveries and the reversal of the moon can be incredibly freeing. So now let's take a look at our card of the week. Judgment, but reversed. Okay. So in the OG Smith Rider Waite card, this shows this archangel, which I think is said to be Gabriel, like kind of popping up out of a graveyard. It's a scarier card. I remember this card being kind of alarming when I was a kid. Oh, and for those of you who asked me like how I always so quickly describe the Smith Rider Waite as well as my deck, I alternate between which I'm pulling it from. Often I pull on the lives with from Smith Rider Waite because I don't have it as quickly memorized, you know, all of the imagery as I do my own deck, obviously. So that is how. But so it has, you know, Archangel Gabriel popping up, like, and all of these people coming out of this graveyard, and it's kind of what is that? It's got some darkness to it, but it's all about looking at the overview of where we've come, right? Judgment Day. What does that look like? What is the story? What led us, the lessons on the things we learned up until this point? And that's really in the upright position of this card. The reversal, however, is kind of when we're being overly critical. And that can be of the world or of ourselves. This is often when we kind of are too hard on, what if I had done X instead of Y? Or, you know, having those looping analytical thoughts, which I'm sure many of us, myself included, have had in this time. So because we have the reversal this week, the message in Judgment Reversed is often, where can we find empathy? Where can we find that kindness and that softness for ourselves and for others? I've talked about this, you know, before throughout the past 3-4 month period in the lockdown of just so much duality and polarity being thrown about. And one of the ways that I find helpful, and again, take this or leave it, but I find helpful to work through this is really just trying to have a neutrality around other people's truths, and also a learning where I don't know someone else's perspective, that I can honor it, but can never necessarily understand. I mean, I will never know what it's like to be a person of color in this lifetime, let alone in 2020. I won't know what it's like to be a mother. I mean, other than to Lola, obviously, but to have children in this very uncertain time. I mean, it's scary enough to, what am I going to do with such uncertainty, but to have children to factor into the equation, I don't know that, and I can't pretend to know what that feels like. And I think that that's something that before we judge others or think that there is one universal answer or truth, we can factor that in. And that's, you know, that really comes to me in the message of Judgment Reversed, is where can we have that awareness around what we don't know, that we can, you know, offer our kindness, but we reserve judgment when we can't understand someone else's situation fully because we've never fully embodied or been within it. You know, a lot of people who have not lived in New York City in this time are throwing a lot of shade at my city and the people here. And, you know, I see this in friends and in colleagues who are very privileged to have you know, country homes with massive yards and pools and their beachside and lakeside and breathing all the fresh air. And when they come to the city, they're pointing fingers of, that person has their mask on their chin. That person isn't social distancing. Oh my, this is terrible. This is all New York's fault. And I would just like to say, as a grid worker and a light worker that has been here doing my meditative walks in the city every day for the past 4 months, people have been, you know, some have not been wearing masks in this time. Some people have been gathering in this time. Our numbers have continued to go down. And I think it's really easy to throw judgment to the inhabitants of New York when you have a massive yard, when you have all the ability to walk around, breathing fresh air without, confinement, and so I just want to say, before you pass judgment and throw hatred around, just note that you may not understand what it's like to be walking three or more miles a day in 90 degrees. You may not know what it's like to, you know, lug your groceries around the city if you're able to have a massive home and a car to go get them. You may not know what it's like to literally not be able to leave a very small home without being masked. So I just think that we're all doing the best we can. I really do believe that. We're all doing the best we can in this time. And the most helpful thing I've found is, you know, again, and this is the message in Judgment Reverse, being kind to ourselves, being kind to others. Where can we inspire versus shaming? I think that that's a really big element of this card and something that's useful, not just for, yes, it's the card of the week, but useful moving forward. So on that note, someone I really admire and the way that they embody and teach all of the tarot cards, Miss Stacey Robinson of Smoke and Mirrors Tarot, the queen of Berlin Tarot. She is here with us today.
So my introduction to tarot started when I was around 25, and I was living in Berlin at the time. And my partner was working at a liquor store. And there was this weirdo guy who would come in all the time. And I use the term weirdo with complete affection. And he was just this, like, crazy character guy. And he would come in, and he'd always have something going on. But one of the things he always mentioned was that he was a tarot reader, and he wanted to read for me and my partner. So my partner was like, yeah, there's this guy. He wants to give us a tarot reading. So I said, okay, and we had him over, and he read for me, my boyfriend, and a friend of ours. And the thing that really impressed me about it was, I think I was expecting him to, like, tell me my future or something, like that it would be this fortune-telling kind of thing. But what he actually did, and this is the same method that I use in my practice, is he asked you to think of a question that you had or a thing that you wanted some clarity or some perspective about, and don't tell him what it is. And then he would lay some cards out and read the cards and give you his interpretation. And then you would apply that to your question, and then we would talk about it. And that was really powerful to me because it wasn't like the cards were giving me the answer or telling me what was going to happen. It was more like they were a tool for me to connect in with myself and with my own intuition and my own system. It was almost like the glasses that you normally wear when you're looking at your life. It was like he was just handing me like a different pair of glasses and saying like, oh, just like try these on and see like if it looks different to you or what you notice. And then you can take them off in the end and like put your other ones back on, but like you'll just see things a little bit differently. So my interest in tarot was really rooted in that, and this idea that it could be something that you really use more as like a mechanism to connect with yourself and with your own knowing.
I love that, and I love even like within the name of your business, Smoke and Mirrors Tarot, that it really is kind of a mirror of the energies around you. I work very similarly. I do work with divination in terms of predicting timelines and predicting events, but I really always say that at the core, it's kind of the way that I work and that I read is it's really a mirror of the energies around you. And it sounds like that was kind of your big experience with your introduction to tarot and also how you read as well.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and I think like everybody has their own unique way of doing tarot, and that's another motivating factor for me with making this course is the idea that like the way that I do tarot and the way that you do tarot is not going to necessarily be the same, but that this medium kind of offers us an opportunity to figure out like how we want to interact with this resource, you know, like it's a tool that we can use, and everyone's going to have their own unique way of using it.
Yeah, definitely. That was another question I had, was because for me, it was something that I had originally discovered when I was quite young and then came back to it a few years ago when I was in just a really traumatic period, and I found that it was a healing tool for myself of kind of, you know, finding clarity, I would pull one card a day and ask what the universe wanted me to see or what the universe wanted me to pay attention to as it came up that day. So it really started as kind of my own modality with healing, and then I expanded that into doing readings for friends and colleagues, and then eventually, you know, became the practice that I now have with like products and events and everything. But was that kind of the case? Did you start with yourself as a healing tool before you expanded into all the things that you're now doing?
Yeah, it was very similar to me to what you just described. So I had this reading with that guy, and I saw him a couple of times, and then shortly after that, I left Berlin, and I went back home to Colorado, which is where I'm originally from, and I was kind of at, like, the lowest point mental health-wise that I've probably ever been. Like, I was escaping this really abusive, emotionally abusive relationship, and I was incredibly traumatized, and, like, my nervous system was just, like, shot. And I was incredibly fortunate that I had somewhere that I could go to recover, and that I could get help and everything. But tarot was definitely, you know, I didn't have access to this guy anymore because I wasn't in Berlin, and I didn't know anybody who was doing tarot in that way. And so, like, it just made sense for me to just get a deck and start doing it myself. So the impetus to learn kind of came from being in pain, and just, like, I think it can be a really therapeutic tool, because, like you said, it's just a thing you can use to look at, like, what can I focus on today, or what can I pay attention to, or what framework can I use to make sense of, like, what can sometimes feel like a very chaotic world.
Yeah, absolutely. Have you found that it has been something that you've come to even more in this time over the past couple of months? Has it been something that your relationship has changed with tarot at all? As, you know, we've kind of gone through this incredibly tumultuous period historically from March until currently.
Actually, I never used to do, like, collective stuff. Like, I never used to read for the collective. I would just do something either for me or for a person who came to me for a reading. And lately I've started doing sometimes just, like, a single card, and sometimes a little bit more of a spread. They're generally just, like, a couple of cards, because it feels to me like when the subject is so big, like, I want to keep it simple with the cards. But I have started just pulling cards that are less about, like, what do I need to look at, and more about, like, what's actually going on right now on the planet. And that's been really insightful and expansive, to just kind of start using this not just as a tool for my own personal life, but actually to make sense of, like, our collective journey.
Yeah, definitely. Have you come across, when you've been pulling for the collective, have you come across any cards in particular that really stood out as tools that we can use as we kind of navigate this time that might be helpful for, you know, growth, for expansion? Were there any cards that stood out, or kind of elements from those cards that you would advise that we could embody to really help us through this shift?
Yeah, so one that I've been thinking about a lot is the Tower card. I feel like we're really in a Tower card moment right now, where these structures that we've gotten really used to and that a lot of us have gotten really comfortable in, we're realizing that they are built on a ground that is rotten. And the Tower card teaches us that if something is built on a ground that has no integrity, then it will come down. And it should come down, because that's the only way. Like, it can't stand on that ground. You can't fix it with it still standing there. So no matter how big and powerful the tower seems, if the foundation is shaky or unstable, then it's not going to hold. So in my personal life, I've had moments where I went to the Tower card to kind of make sense of, like, when everything's falling apart and it feels really scary, and you feel like the world is ending. Like, it feels, when you're in it, like everything is just, like, complete destruction and chaos, because you're in the middle of it and it's terrifying. But if we can take a step back and look at it from the perspective of the Tower, then we can see this is actually a gift. This is actually a moment to knock down things so that we can rebuild them, and the only way they can be rebuilt is if we knock them down. And I feel like that's really what we're seeing right now in the world.
I think that that's, if I had to choose one card as well, I think it would be the Tower of the Hanged Man for that reason. And I recently posted about that, about, because, you know, the Tower is ruled by Mars, and we have Mars in Aries, which is kind of Mars rules Aries, so it's kind of back in its most powerful stance from June until December. So the rest of 2020, we're seeing Mars in Aries, which is kind of, you know, Mars is the planet of destruction. It's the Tower planet. And like you said, it can be really scary. It can feel, when you're in it, like just so tumultuous and so, you know, unstable. But it does really pave the way for clearing mm-hmm. out those, like you said, those structures, those foundations that no longer serve us. So it's definitely exciting and terrifying, I feel like, at the same time.
Yeah. So I almost try to like lean into the intensity a little bit, just in the sense of like, okay, this could be a good thing. Like, how can we see this as something constructive, even though it feels like destruction?
Yes, I agree with you. Absolutely.
I was going to say another card that's come up is the Two of Wands, which I kind of see as almost like, after the dust has cleared from the Tower coming down, I think of the Two of Wands as being like, okay, what do we want to how do we want to rebuild, you know? And the thing I find so beautiful about that card is that the one wand is nailed down, so it represents like the past that can't be changed, and the other wand is free and represents the future that can be like created and designed however we want. So even though, you know, the Tower says like, burn it all down and rebuild, that doesn't mean that we forget the past or that we don't still have that history that, you know, is our roots. So I really like the balance in the Two of Wands between like honoring the past and our history, but also acknowledging that the future is an open book that we can write however we want to.
Yeah, so in terms of the Two of Wands, I definitely agree. And in the beginning of this, there were so many people, and maybe still, who were saying that, you know, I just want things to go back to normal. And I had said, you know, back in March, and still obviously becomes more and more apparent day by day, but that it's not going to go back to what we used to consider as normal. And I think that, you know, when we look at the Two of Wands, on one hand, like you're saying, that one that was like the way things were nailed down to the way things that we could expect and predict and what we knew. But there were a lot of things even before, COVID and the lockdown and all of these things happened to the world. There were so many things that we weren't happy with. I mean, I can say, at least from my perspective, that we saw flaws in, things like the school system, the healthcare system, the economy. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of us did want to change. And I think, like you're saying, both with the Tower of things kind of crumbling down, there's that opportunity. And with the Two of Wands, we have the ability to really look at what did we like and what did we learn from in the past, and how can we use mm-hmm. that to create, if we can rebuild the most beautiful kind of new earth and new future, what could that potentially yeah. look like? So I love that you picked that card. And that's not one that I have actually really thought of in terms of this time, but I think that's such a perfect one. So yeah, I love that selection. It's amazing.
Oh, nice. Is there one that you've been like particularly focused on lately?
I definitely said the Tower as well, and my biggest is the Hanged Man. I really struggle with surrendering to the unknown, and right now I literally don't know where I'm going to be living. And that, for me, I was always such a planner. I'm quite decisive. I've been very like ambitious and had a plan my whole since I was very young. So the Hanged Man has been what I'm trying to work with. I know a lot of people have a lot of uncertainties, whether it's their job, where they're going to live, a lot of relationships coming to a close in this time, or things being released because of those moments. And what is that, trying not to be paralyzed by the unknown, but rather kind of embracing and trusting the universe. So for that reason, I personally have been working with the Hanged Man and have been advising a lot of clients that are struggling with similar fears or anxieties around the unknown.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I always feel the hanged man is kind of a, almost like someone tapping on my shoulder, like, it's gonna be okay, like, it might be a little uncomfortable in places, but, like, just breathe, you know, you'll get through it.
Wow, 1,000%. So in terms of, I love the way that you kind of describe and work with the cards. In terms of your upcoming course, how, what is your teaching style like? Obviously, like, I, you know, we follow each other on all of our social accounts. I've had the pleasure of working with and talking to you in person, or, you know, I should mean virtually. I'm like, everything's virtually.
Yeah.
But virtually, feels like in person because it's FaceTime. But what is your, what is your style of teaching when you break down the tarot for people that maybe they've never worked with it at all, but they want to learn? Can you tell us a little bit about how your course works?
Yeah, so my background is actually in language. I studied linguistics at university, and I worked as a language teacher for years. So this course is kind of me bringing together my language background and my tarot background. So I really approach tarot as the same as a language, like it's a form of communication. And like, if you wanted to learn French, you wouldn't just like read a dictionary and memorize it and then expect to be able to have a conversation in that language. And I think it's the same with tarot, that I just kept meeting people who, you know, I'd give them a tarot reading and I was always hearing like, oh yeah, I have a deck of cards at home, but you know, I don't really know what to do with it. Or like, oh, once in a while I pull a card, but like, oh, I don't really know. And there's this very real curiosity and like, okay, so how does this work? And what were you saying about that? And I think the thing that's missing is just that people don't necessarily have the tools to actively engage with the tarot and interact with it. Like, we just have a deck. Maybe you get a book that tells you, like, here's what the cards mean. But in my experience, tarot is something that really happens when you engage with it. Like, it's not just about, like, a card has, like, meaning to it, but the meaning changes constantly depending, like, it's totally going to depend on, like, what happens in the moment when you're working with it. You know, it doesn't just have an absolute meaning that's the same all the time. So the course is kind of approaching tarot from that angle, that it's more like a language that you do want the vocabulary, you do want to understand what the cards mean, but you also need to understand like the grammar of it, that there are systems at play within it that can help you just kind of make sense of it. And then most importantly, that you have to actively use it or you're not really going to understand how it works, you know. So the course is really focused on breaking down the deck into like manageable bites to understand what they are, but then really focusing on exercises and interaction so that you actually engage with the cards actively, so you like see how the cards work.
Amazing. So yeah, I love just how you are so great at explaining your relationship with the cards and how we can work with and embody them. I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about, for everyone who's listening, about your course, because I can get kind of a feel of how you teach based on the conversation we've had so far, but if you could give a little more background on the course, your tarot course, how it works and how you kind of walk people through learning who may have no experience with tarot up until this point.
So the course is meant to be accessible for people of all levels. So if you have no background with tarot and you're a complete beginner, that's totally fine. But it also would work for someone who is familiar with the cards but doesn't really feel confident interpreting them or giving a reading to someone else. Or if you just want to kind of take your practice to the next level and get more comfortable in your practice. So it's an 8-week course, and it's all online. The material will be released every week with information about the cards. So we're going to go through the deck, and it's around like 8 to 10 cards a week that we'll go through in depth. And then there will be exercises and discussions, and like we'll focus on certain challenges that might come up, or different exercises to just be looking at ways you can work with the cards in a different way. And then we'll go through the whole deck that way so that you gradually expand not just your understanding of the cards, but that as you get to know the cards, you are actively working with them and feel like you have another level of confidence using the cards and engaging with them. And also, I think, just engaging with your own intuition, because I think that that's really what the tarot is all about, is that it's just a tool for you to connect with that. So I'm offering the course with just that online content that you can sign up for, and then you get the curriculum, the material every week. Or there's an option with 4 one-on-one sessions with me, where we would meet over Skype, and then you get the chance to actually practice reading the cards and giving someone a reading and interpreting them. Because I find that giving a reading to someone else is one of those things that you need to be confident in it to do it, but you're not going to feel confident unless you do it. So there can often be this kind of painful phase in the beginning where you're giving readings to people, but you don't necessarily feel like you should be because you don't feel like you know what you're doing yet. So the idea with that is to just give you a space where you can really not have to worry about, like, if it's accurate or, you know, if you're giving the best tarot reading ever, but you can really just tune into that and just give it a try and just play with the cards and get some feedback from me. And we can just see where you're at and how I can help you.
Amazing. No, that sounds so exciting. So I'm going to post the link back to Smoke and Mirrors and to your website as well in the link and the notes to this episode so that people can definitely check out your course. How long is the course available?
So the course, the first round is starting on the 13th, but it will be available after that. If you sign up, then you'll receive the material each week from when you sign up. So it should still be available from that point on.
Amazing. All right. Well, thank you so much, Stacey. It was incredible to have you on. And I'm really excited to see how this course goes. I know that a lot of people are going to be interested. A lot of people actually message me asking if I'm launching one. I have done some small in-person events and courses, but I haven't done like a formal tarot course. Because I just really love the way that you read and kind of your relationship and explanation of the cards, I definitely wanted to give people this option because I highly recommend it. So thank you so much for being able to talk with us today.
Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate that. That means a lot. And the feeling is mutual. And I actually also wanted to extend a special offer to people, listeners of this podcast. If you use the code BADASSBITCH at checkout, that will give you 15% off both the course and my online shop.
Amazing. Okay, I will, and I'll post that obviously in the notes to this episode and on my social media as well. So thank you so much for that offer. That's incredible.
Yes, thank you.
Definitely go and check out Stacey at Smoke and Mirrors Tarot. It's Smoke X as in and Smoke X Mirrors Tarot on Instagram and smokeandmirrorstarot.com. The links are in the notes to this podcast. Definitely check her out. She's an incredible one-on-one reader and teacher. So I highly, highly recommend considering her course if you are looking for an online virtual tarot course. And as she mentioned, she's also working one-on-one as well with the individuals who are taking this course. So definitely recommend it. I love the way that she works and interprets the tarot. I'm sorry for the sound quality on the last bit of that. We actually had Mercury retrograde issues. Stacey recorded, I recorded, I pieced it together and edited it as best as possible, but I do know the sound is not perfect and towards the very tail end there. But had such an incredible conversation with her, and as I said, we really, really recommend Stacey as a reader and as a one-on-one tarot teacher as well throughout this program. So before we head out, just as always, wanted to give you some quick announcements. I will be doing the Monday night Instagram Live, 7:30 p.m. So it's your chance at a free live mini reading. I know a lot of you tune in every Monday. If you haven't before, it's a great chance to get a free quick reading from me. If you're not able to attend, I do leave this up for 24 hours, so you can always DM through a question. If you have something that you really want to address and won't be able to attend the live, you will be able to view it for up to a day after. I have a lot of my own free content currently up. I have a mini tarot class of my own that was just a short, kind of like a Cliff's Notes. It's not as in-depth as Stacey's, but it's a quick one-hour class that's still available on modernsanctuary.com, as well as an intro to tarot Q&A that is free. Both of those are free at modernsanctuary.com. You can also access your monthly tarot scopes at BCBG. I'm their kind of tarot reader partner on their brand, BCBG's Instagram, which is linked in the notes to this as well. And I hope you have an incredible, beautiful week, and that full moon in Capricorn and lunar eclipse is very powerful and helps to move you forward. Thank you so much. And as always, stay magical AF.